Welcome to Travel With Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm Dan Schlossberg. Co-host Maggie Litton is at the Royals-Orioles game in Baltimore tonight, and I'm jealous even though it's raining there. But as Ed Sullivan used to say, we have a really good shoe. This is the 284th episode of Travel With Radio. Every week at 8 Eastern, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, and national tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the world of travel. Our special guest tonight is Jessica O'Reilly, Communications Manager for Iowa's Tourism Office. Welcome, Jessica, to Travel With Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to talk Iowa with you this evening.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you can make the time. First of all, Jessica, I'm a huge fan of MASH and recall that one of its best characters was Radar O'Reilly of Ottumwa, Iowa. So is there really a town called Ottumwa, and is O'Reilly a famous name in Iowa?
There really is a town called Ottumwa. It's about an hour southeast of Des Moines and actually not far from the home made famous in American Gothic. The house that serves as the backdrop for American Gothic actually exists still in a little town called Eldon, not far from Ottumwa. But O'Reilly, as far as I know, is not a famous name.
Well, there are quite a few famous names from Iowa. We'll get that a little bit later in the show. But Iowa is known for its legendary football team, literary contributions, and picturesque landscape, not to mention its thriving agriculture. But what can visitors expect to see when they visit the state?
You know, we find people don't have a negative impression of Iowa most time. They just really don't have one at all. So if we can get them here, then they can experience our super charming small towns, our urban centers, the farms, the rolling hills, all of that. They just fall in love with us, and we appreciate that because we love it here too.
Well, I visited Dubuque while I was on an American Queen baseball theme cruise that I organized. Are steamboats still a staple of life in Iowa?
There are still ways to experience the river, not so much on steamboats. We do have some riverboats still operating. The riverboat Twilight, for instance, out of LeClaire, which is a very charming riverfront community. You can ride the replica of a Victorian steamboat. They'll take you from LeClaire upriver to Dubuque. You can spend the night in Dubuque and then come back on down to LeClaire. There's another riverboat that goes out of the Quad Cities. And then we have other ways that aren't steamboats, but other ways to get on and explore the river. There's a Blue Heron Eco Cruises along the Mississippi River. In the Quad Cities, there's a water taxi. So if you want to go from various spots in the Quad Cities, you can do that on the ferry boat. And there's also in Dubuque SWAT tours. So you can take the an inflatable boat ride, the same style used by military and law enforcement agencies. So that's a different river experience. And then up in Clear Lake, the Lady of the Lake, is an authentic stern wheel paddle boat that takes you on a 90-minute cruise around the natural spring fed, so easy for me to say, Clear Lake.
And your state has a ton of quirky roadside attractions. The world's largest concrete bowl, the tallest corn stalk, the largest concrete gnome, for example. Where are those, and what other roadside attractions can visitors find in Iowa?
You know what's funny about the concrete garden gnome is we used to say it was the world's largest gnome, period, but I think Poland may have one, so this we have to specify that it's concrete. I believe theirs is fiberglass or something, but the world's largest concrete garden gnome is in Ryman Gardens in Ames. That's about 40 minutes north of Des Moines, beautiful gardens. We also have what Ripley has dubbed the world's unbelievably crooked street. So more crooked than Lombard Street in San Francisco, Snake Alley. You can drive down it if you're feeling brave. There's a bike race that happens every Memorial Day where they ride up Snake Alley. So that's a little tricky. The world's largest truck stop in Walcott, right there along Interstate 80. It's about four times larger than your average truck stop. In Dubuque, we have the Fenelon Place Elevator. It's the world's shortest and steepest railway. And it started because, so Dubuque is in an area of Iowa that wasn't touched by the glaciers, so there's a lot more bluffs than you see anywhere else. And there was a lawyer who lived on the bluffs but worked down on the main street, and he wanted to go take a nap at lunchtime. but there wasn't enough time for him to take his horses around to get up to the top of the bluff to get his nap and then come back down. So he built this elevator going up the steep incline so he could go home for his naps.
That is a great story. And we're speaking with Jessica O'Reilly from Iowa. How has Iowa's famous fertile farmland and agriculture impacted its culinary scene?
Well, we like to say farm-to-table distance is a lot shorter here than anywhere else. We see a lot of communities embracing their local farmers, especially, I know, in the town of Decorah. It is a very vibrant local food scene. Some of the farmers will go in and talk to the restaurants and say, what is it that you would like to serve? What can I help you? What can I grow for you? Which is a win-win for everybody. The restaurant gets nice local produce, and the farmer gets a ready market for that. Farmers markets are huge across the state, as you can imagine. The biggest one is in downtown Des Moines. Seems kind of silly or ironic, but it's true. They attract about 20,000 people every Saturday. It runs May through October.
20,000 people. That's a pretty good crowd. Iowa is home to numerous historic and Art Deco buildings, including old hotels. What are some of the most notable, and how are they being used today?
Sure. Probably our most surprising one is the historic Park Inn Hotel in Mason City. I don't know how many of you know that Frank Lloyd Wright designed 6 hotels in his lifetime, and there's only one remaining, and it's the one we have here in Mason City. It's been beautifully restored about 6 or 7 years ago. At the time it was built, all the rooms were 10 by 10. So if you can imagine a 10 by 10 space, and then they shared a bathroom. So when they did the renovation, they upgraded them. So the rooms are a little bit bigger and lots of, the modern amenities, but they did keep one room that has a 10 by 10 and a shared bathroom and another 10 by 10 space. So if you want sort of the historic experience, book that room, but any of them are lovely. And that's a great story, too. The place had fallen into disrepair, and at one point was up for sale on eBay, and nobody wanted to buy it. And then this group of citizens rallied together and created a foundation and worked to raise all the money to restore the building. And there's an adjoining, it used to be a bank building next to the hotel, also designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, which is now kind of the ballroom area for the hotel. But when it was a bank, they had window grates. Grates covering the windows, and they ended up being in a nearby town as someone's fence. So they were able to bring those back and put them in the original building. And then someone else had the skylight that had been in the lobby in their back porch. So it was like these pieces of the hotel had just been waiting for someone to restore it.
And Jessica, Iowa is home to the famous Iowa State Fair. Are there other events and attractions visitors should mark on their 2018-2019 calendars?
Well, of course there are. Another event we're known for is called, we call it RAGBRAI, but it actually stands for Register's Annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa. Register being our local newspaper in Des Moines. It's about a 400-ish mile bike ride. Starts in western Iowa, and traditionally bikers will dip their rear tire in the Missouri River when they start, and it follows a different route every year going west to east across the state, and then when they get to the eastern edge, or east coast as we call it, they dip their front tire in the Mississippi River. And it's not a race, it's just a rolling touring ride, and the organizer of that event says if you don't gain weight on RAGBRAI, you're doing it wrong. Because every small town rolls out the red carpet. They'll have church dinners and pies and spaghetti and Klang festival of food and biking. So that's a great one. That happens the last week of July. The National Balloon Classic in Indianola is, I believe, the second largest hot air balloon festival. That happens in Indianola, late July, early August. Of course, there's the Iowa State Fair, the world's most famous state fair. The original novel was based on Iowa's fair, and then the subsequent Broadway musical and movies were based on there. There's an interesting event that happens every August in the town of LeClaire. I mentioned that was a river town. It's called the Great River Tug Fest. So the folks in LeClaire have a tug of war with the folks in Port Byron, Illinois. So they stretch a giant rope across the Mississippi River and do a tug of war every year. So that's a fun event. And I
wonder
Iowa
how many
City.
People fall. How many people fall into the river?
You know, that is an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't think they've lost anybody yet, so that's good.
Okay.
In Iowa City, they have a book festival every year. Iowa City, of course, home to the world-famous Writers' Workshop. It's a UNESCO City of Literature, so that's a great event, really playing on their literary heritage. In October every year is the Madison County Covered Bridge Festival, home of the famed Bridges of Madison County. In the winter, we don't, you know, we have four seasons of tourism here, so we don't take the winter off, don't hibernate or anything. So the University of Okoboji Winter Games in northwest Iowa in the town of Okoboji. It is a fictional university. There really is no University of Okoboji, but they have lots of fun pretending that they are. And then in Clear Lake, there's a couple great winter events. They do a Color the Wind Kite Festival every February on the frozen lake. They fly kites out on the lake. And then they also have the Winter Dance Party. It's a recognition of Big Bopper, Buddy Holly, and Richie Valens. They played their last concert at the Surf Ballroom. And then, of course, their plane crashed just north of town. And so it's a remembrance of their last day here.
Yes, I remember them well. 1959, I believe that was.
It was.
And Jessica, when the Mississippi River, with the Mississippi on the East Coast and Council Bluffs in the West and Lake Okoboji in the North, Iowa doesn't lack outdoor experiences. For outdoor enthusiasts, I know you've already covered some of this, what are a few experiences and destinations that listeners and visitors should consider?
Sure. There's a lot of fabulous biking trails in Iowa. The Trout Run Trail in Decorah is an 11-mile loop trail that will take you all the way around the community. It's kind of flat, and when you're down by Main Street, but when you, again, this is up in that, we call it the Driftless area, so again, where the glacier didn't hit. And then when you get toward the back, there's some switchbacks, and they had to blast through some limestone bluffs for the trail, so that would give you a picture. You can get up as high as you can get in Iowa, pretty much, and then just get beautiful views of the valley below you. There's another great bike trail in central Iowa called the High Trestle Trail Bridge. It runs from Ankeny to Woodward, but the star of that is the High Trestle Trail Bridge. It's a 13-story tall former railroad bridge, and it's got artwork on it that's sort of reminiscent of going down a mine shaft, because there's some mining history there. It lights up with some blue LED lights at night, and that's a very popular destination. In western Iowa, there's a rare geological landform called the Lus Hills. They're made up of soil that blew in. It's a gritty, loose soil that gets up to 200 feet in depth, and the only other place to find that type of soil in that depth is in China. So it's a rare gem for us to have on the west coast of Iowa. And there are a lot of great venues along there. It's also a Lus Hills National Scenic Byway, so you could drive it. Or if you want to get out and experience, the Hitchcock Nature Center is a great place. They've got lots of great hiking trails for all levels, easy to difficult. They even have a boardwalk, so if you need some help with uneven terrain, that one makes it a lot easier for you. And it also has a 45-foot tower that you can climb and get an expansive view of the Lus Hills. Another way to experience outdoors is on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad. You can take that tourist line railroad over two amazing bridges right over the Des Moines River Valley. It's a 156-foot tall bridge, so it gives you great views. Of course, we have lots of great state parks and county parks for exploring as well. We've got caves that you can go visit, like Maquoketa Caves or Crystal Lake Cave. We have one called Spook Cave that can only be toured by boat. So that's a different way to get out and explore.
That Tourist Line Railroad, is that a steam line, steam railroad?
Yes, I believe it is. I think they have both steam and diesel. I think they do them both.
Okay. What are some of the major highways and byways and airports in Iowa?
You know, we're so easy to get to right here in the heartland. Interstate 80 goes east-west across Iowa. Interstate 35 would go north-south through Iowa. Interstate 29 on the west coast of Iowa. Our major airport is Des Moines. Cedar Rapids also has one. And then Moline, Illinois would be right across the river from Davenport on the East Coast. And Omaha's airport is about 5 minutes from Council Bluffs. So you could come in on those as well.
And because it is home to several towns with European roots, visiting Iowa is like visiting Europe without a passport. Please tell us about Amana colonies and the other places with European roots.
Fantastic. Yes, the Amanas were founded by German immigrants in 1855. It's now collectively they're all a National Historic Landmark, and they have wonderful shops, and they do an event, I swear, almost every weekend. So Oktoberfest would be a big one, MyFest, they do a foodie event. They have great a chocolate shop and a bakery and a woolen mill, and it's a wonderful, especially Main Amana, that's where most of the attractions are. It's just a wonderful walkable community to explore, and they do a lot of special events, like I said, with their German heritage. We have two Dutch communities, Orange City in northwest Iowa, and each of them does a tulip festival. Orange City's tulip festival is coming up next weekend. But it's a great stop anytime, so you can find the windmills and things like that. We have a couple Danish communities, Elkhorn and Kimbleton, actually collectively are the largest rural Danish settlements in the United States. So that's kind of fun. They have an actual windmill that was built in Denmark in 1848, dismantled, and then reconstructed in Elkhorn in 1975. And it's currently getting its sails refurbished right now, so that's exciting for them. A little facelift for that more than 100-year-old structure. They also have a museum of Danish America and a replica of the Little Mermaid statue. And so that's a fun little town. In Cedar Rapids, it was settled by a lot of Czechs, so there's a Czech village area that's really a redeveloped area. Cedar Rapids was flooded 10 years ago this summer, massive flood, and they've really used that as an opportunity to rebuild and really redefine what they want their city to be. So the Czech Village and New Bohemia District is a really up-and-coming district with lots of great shopping and boutique stores. And then Pella is one of our other Dutch communities. They really embrace the architecture of Holland, and a lot of, you'll see it'll be the fanciest Walmart you've ever seen because it incorporates the Dutch architecture. Lots of great Dutch bakeries. They've got a meat market that's been there for more than 100 years. They just had their big tulip festival last weekend, so that was fun for them. And then in Decora is our Norwegian heritage. The Vesterheim Norwegian American Museum there is home to more than 33,000 artifacts. And in fact, Disney called them looking for some artifacts to use as a reference for their movie, Frozen, if you've heard of that movie. And then every July they hold a So every July they hold a Nordic Fest celebrating their culture and history.
Okay, I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And we're speaking with Jessica O'Reilly of the state of Iowa. Jessica, Iowa is home to several pop culture and historical attractions, including one of my favorites, the Field of Dreams Diamond in a Cornfield from the 1989 Kevin Costner film. What are the state's top must-see pop culture and historical landmarks?
Well, you mentioned the Field of Dreams, which is fantastic. And I will also mention that they not only do tours of the home now, but you can also stay overnight. So if you're a big Field of Dreams or even baseball fan, put that on your bucket list to go stay overnight at the Field of Dreams house. Otherwise, if you just want to go, there are no organized activities. So you can just show up with your ball and bat and hit. And in the summer, you can climb out of the corn like the ghost players. Every time I go there, there are cars from out of state. And I just love seeing, you know, the dads and their kids playing ball. And it's not unusual to see a pickup game going on. And it's just a great fun and it's all free atmosphere. So it's wonderful. But other things, the Bridges of Madison County, I mentioned them earlier, the book Bridges of Madison County, and then the movie, of course, with Clint Eastwood and Meryl Streep, that was filmed in Winterset. So you can go visit the bridges, sit on the same stool Clint Eastwood did at the Northside Cafe. Winterset is also home to John Wayne. He was born there way back in 1907. And so that's the only museum dedicated to John Wayne in the world. So that's a wonderful attraction. Some others that you might have heard of: Johnny Carson was born in Corning, Iowa. The American Pickers from the History Channel, their home base is in LeClaire. And then as far as historical landmarks, Iowa's home to the first ever National Historic Landmark, the Sergeant Floyd Monument near Sioux City, which marks the only fatality on the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Well, let's talk history a little bit. When WHO Radio in Des Moines covered the Cubs in the 30s, their main broadcaster was a guy named Dutch Reagan. I also know that longtime baseball broadcaster Milo Hamilton hailed from Fairfield, Iowa. What other favorite sons and daughters has the state produced? You mentioned Johnny Carson. You mentioned John Wayne. Who else?
John Wayne. Herbert Hoover is Iowa's only president so far, born in West Branch, and we are proud to have the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum. You can also see his birthplace cottage there, as well as the grave sites for him and his wife, Mrs. Lou Henry Hoover. Glenn Miller, the famous big band musician, was born in Clarinda. You can visit his birthplace home, and then they also have a wonderful museum. We talked about Johnny Carson. Here's a fun one. It's actually a future birthplace. Captain James T. Kirk from Star Trek will be born in Iowa in 2228. So there's a birthstone marking him. I know, because he's from Iowa, and Riverside claims him, so he'll apparently be born there on March 22nd, 2228. They have a big Star Trek Trek Fest every June, so if you're a Trekkie, get on over to Riverside. And also Meredith Wilson of the Music Man fame. He was a famous bandleader and composer, and he was born in Mason City. You can also visit his birthplace home, and they also have a replica streetscape of the town from Music Man, which was based on Mason City. River City there was based on Mason City here. Carrie Lane Chapman Catt, who was a women's suffragist and the founder of the League of Women Voters, grew up in rural Floyd County near Charles City, and you can visit her girlhood home and museum. And then Donna Reed, America's beloved sweetheart, was born in Denison, Iowa, in western Iowa, and she has the Donna Reed Heritage Museum and Theater that can be visited there. And then a wonderful place in rural Iowa, Orient, is the Henry A. Wallace Country Life Center. Henry A. Wallace was a U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, a U.S. Vice President, and a U.S. Secretary of Commerce. And he also, in his spare time, founded Seed Corn Company Pioneer Hybrid and was an editor at Wallace's Farmer. So his homestead farm is open. I know, makes me think I'm doing nothing with my life. But they have a wonderful restaurant there that pulls ingredients from the farm right there. They have a garden on the farm, so if you have lunch there, you'll enjoy ingredients right there from the yard.
All right, let's move on a little bit because there's a lot to cover and not much time left. Let's talk about your culinary experiences. How can visitors whet their appetites in Iowa? In other words, what are a few signature food experiences people can experience there?
Oh, so many good things. Sweet corn is big in the summer, so like late July, early August. We do have some sweet corn festivals as well where you can go and they'll boil up tons, literally tons of sweet corn and offer it free. So just an ear of corn, a little bit of butter, and you're in business. Breaded pork tenderloins are big here. Every year, our Iowa pork producers pronounce one restaurant as having the best breaded tenderloin in the state. And they also have introduced a tenderloin trail. So 14 different stops if you want to experience wonderful breaded tenderloins. And then we also have Blue Bunny ice cream. It's in Lamar's, Iowa, in Western Iowa.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. I love it.
Oh, good. Because Lamar's is the world ice cream capital of the world. Because they make more ice cream there than anywhere else in the world.
Wow, who knew? Okay, what are some of Iowa's signature dishes? I know there's something about a canteen loose meat sandwich.
Yeah, so it's sort of like a sloppy joe, but not saucy. So if you can picture that, it's like a steamed, chopped loose meat sandwich. And even in Iowa, there are regional differences. Some people call them canteens, some call them taverns. Some call them made rights, and the seasoning may be a little different across each of those. But the in Ottumwa, so back to Ottumwa, there's a wonderful restaurant called The Canteen in the Alley. It's a little tiny restaurant. It's been there since like the 30s. And at one point, the city wanted to tear it down and put up a parking ramp, and they said, we're not moving. So they literally built the parking ramp around the restaurant, so it really is in the alley. They're famous for their canteens, and they're actually doing in June a world championship eating contest for canteens. So whoever eats the most in 10 minutes will take away some cash prizes.
Wow. And do most visitors come to Iowa by car, train, or plane?
We are a large drive market. We're within easy driving distance of major metros like Omaha, Minneapolis, Chicago, Kansas City, and Milwaukee. We're probably 2 to 5 hours from all of those. So we know we're a big drive market.
Okay. That's good to know. And we're speaking with Jessica O'Reilly of the beautiful state of Iowa. You know, Travel Itch listeners always like to know more about our guests, so please share where you were born, raised, and schooled, how you got into the travel world, and how you came to your current job as communications manager for Iowa.
Sure. I grew up on the east coast of Iowa, as I like to say, in a town called Muscatine, which is famous because it's the only Muscatine in the entire world, no other city named Muscatine, and also wonderful watermelons. It's a really sandy soil there, which apparently is fabulous for watermelons. So you must have a Muscatine watermelon. I went to Iowa State University in Ames and then now live just outside of Des Moines in Pleasant Hill is the name of my town. When I was in college, as part of my degree, I needed to do an internship. So on the job posting board, I saw one for the Iowa State Fair and I thought, well, that sounds like fun. So I got an internship in the marketing department at the Iowa State Fair, and that was a wonderful experience. And it so happened that there was an opening for a full-time position there before I graduated. So I graduated on a Saturday and started at the fair on a Monday, hit the ground running, and I did 9 more fairs there because that's how you count your time at the fair, not by years, but by how many fairs you survived. And then the tourism office position opened up, and I thought, you know what, that sounds like fun. Instead of just talking about one event that happens 11 days a year, I could talk about everything that's going on across the state and learn so much more about my state. I really have. In my 11 years that I've been with the tourism office, I've learned so much about my state, and I love sharing that with people.
And how do our listeners learn more about visiting Iowa?
Oh, we make it so easy. You can visit traveliowa.com, a wealth of information on there. There's an online travel guide, or if you prefer a printed travel guide, you can order one from there as well. There's a calendar of events on there that if you know when you're coming and you're looking for something to do, we make it very easy for you.
That's good to know. Is there anything I haven't asked you, Jessica, that you'd like to add?
Oh, I think we did a pretty exhaustive overview of Iowa. So well done.
Well, thank you very much, because the timing could not be better. Our special guest tonight has been Jessica O'Reilly, Communications Manager for Iowa's Tourism Office. Thank you, Jessica, for joining us on Travel Itch Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And I want to tell our listeners it's not too early to start thinking about gifts for Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduations, bar mitzvahs, and summer birthdays. So for the baseball fans out there, please consider my books, When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta, or the new baseball Bible, both from Sports Publishing. Check them out on Amazon.com or in the sports sections of major booksellers. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, when we'll hear about the Marriott Residence Inn Fenway in Boston with General Manager Kevin Matheson. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg speaking also for the absent Maggie Linton, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.